Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back as our guest the president of the state senate, Teresa Piva-Weed. Thank you for joining us, Madam President.
Always a pleasure.
Dozens of bills fell by the wayside last week when the legislative session ended with an impasse between the House and the Senate. President Piva-Weed, why did this impasse take place?
Well, I do want to start with saying that while every year some bills fail, that I'd like to take a couple minutes to mention some of the good things we did.
Well, this
session.
Is a 9-minute segment, so I don't know if you can take a couple minutes, but if you could be concise.
Certainly, we passed the campaign finance legislation early on. We passed a budget that settled the pension suit and created a statutory health care exchange, established all-day K, addressed building our schools and our infrastructure. We also did a number of initiatives about statewide tourism, sex trafficking, which enhanced the penalties.
Okay, I really have to bring you back to the question, though, of why this impasse took place and what was the root cause of it?
This year, we worked very well, the House and the Senate, until the very end. At the end, the Speaker, and he said this publicly, really believed in a bill by the Humane Society, which had to do with chicken cages. The Senate as a whole felt very strongly with regard to that being a hardship on a business, and also the state vet had addressed that issue in a vote, actually, I believe. The council had recommended against passage of the bill.
Scott, who do you see as the winners and losers in this impasse between the House and Senate?
Well, I agree with Madam President here. I think that the first part of the session went pretty smoothly, swimmingly almost, on unanimous budget votes, very, very unusual in this state. And then in the end, it kind of crashed and burned. And I think the losers were things like the Good Samaritan Law, which is very sad that that wasn't acted on. And Rhode Island motorists are going to spend yet another construction season driving over potholed roads and crumbling bridges. And I think not resolving that is not good for the people of Rhode Island. There are some other things that I think are not going to work out. The idea that you would implode a session because of a chicken bill, of course, has led to all kinds of jokes and
bad puns, too.
Yes, everybody has egg on their face, I think.
Maureen, as Scott said, there were some important pieces of legislation that didn't go to a final vote, although the causes for this impasse seem to be less than earth-shattering on the face of it. What do you make of this impasse?
My take is that it's created about the truck toll issue. I mean, it was passed in the Senate. The governor seemed to support it. It seemed like a very reasonable bill to me. It was very clear that some changes had to be made up along the margins. I was very surprised that the Speaker stepped out and said he now, at this late stage, wanted to review this process. My fear as a citizen is this thing is going to get away from us. We're not going to get the jobs. And in an interesting kind of way, a loser may be the Speaker. He owns this now. And every call to revamp what was laid out suggests to me taxes or tolls for citizens. And he's the one that's going to have to figure out how to make that work with both chambers and the governor.
Well, our guest, Senate President Teresa Piva-Weed, says she will not be calling the Senate back for a special session since the Senate has already passed the truck toll plan referred to by Maureen. President Piva-Weed, it seems to strain credulity a little bit considering how construction jobs are seen as a priority for the Senate that you would not bring your chamber back if there needs to be a vote on a revised version of the truck toll bill. Are you absolutely ruling out bringing the Senate back for truck toll legislation until next January?
Let me start from the beginning. About 6 weeks ago, the governor had her staff come to us, both House and Senate. A couple of my senators, Leader Algier, were briefed on the concept of the truck tolls. In the end part of May, the Speaker, the governor, and I stood under the bridge in a very public fashion.
I was there.
And supported the bridge tolls. The legislative process then took its turn.
But Speaker Mattiello did say at the time that he wanted to examine the proposal for its impact on business.
Absolutely he did, as did I. We were both concerned about Rhode Island businesses. And I think that has been made abundantly clear throughout this process. The legislative process worked. In the Senate, we had a hearing on the budget article in the first week of June. The governor, the administration, the fiscal staffs all worked together. A revised proposal was then heard, which cut the toll in half, addressed the concerns of Rhode Island businesses. And in addition, at the House hearing, she actually, in terms of the general business concerns, removed the smaller trucks, the sixes and the sevens, as we would call them. So the governor and the administration worked very closely to address every concern we came forward with. And it was a perfect example of the legislative process working and reaching a conclusion that would, in fact, provide for safe roads, and in particular, the focus of this legislation, safe bridges around our state.
We're short on time, so I have to move this along. So to come back to my question here, are you absolutely ruling out bringing the Senate back before January to vote on any sort of truck toll proposal?
Yes, because we've passed a truck toll proposal at this point. And anything else is theoretical. That is an impossible question to answer, because after 6 weeks of process and two public hearings in the House, two public hearings in the Senate, the legislation which was passed, I don't know what the substantive objections at this point are. Certainly you have the Trucking Association, who's going to advocate against tolls no matter what the toll is.
What's your reaction to what you're hearing, Scott?
Well, you know, I think there's a really strange thing in Rhode Island. We look upon the end of every session as Armageddon if something doesn't happen.
Right.
The fact is, we'll be back there in less than 6 months. And in defense of the speaker, it's not foolish to look at what the federal government is going to do on the highway bill. It's up July 31st. Are they going to do a six-year comprehensive, or are they only going to do, you know, a two-year Band-Aid? And I know Senator Whitehouse, who's on that committee, has talked about that. It'd be nice to see what the feds are going to do, and then the state could react and actually set a policy decision on how we're going to pay for this stuff.
Can I just add one thing, too?
Quickly.
I have said the Senate will come back to do judicial appointments. The Speaker has said that they're going to come back and work on the toll proposal and a baseball park. The Senate and the House are both in recess. They certainly can come back without us and do their work and address whatever issues they had in the toll bill with the governor. And there is nothing to stop them from doing that. I want to be clear. Some people think that the speaker and I have to agree to come back. There's no need for a joint session. It's common practice for the Senate to come back and act on judicial appointments.
And yet the Senate would have to pass the House version of this truck toll bill for it to go forward, would it not?
Well, the House will have to pass the House version of the truck toll bill for it to go forward. It's a mythical document at this point. There is no House proposal. There is one proposal. It is a good, solid proposal. Can the Speaker change it? Of course, anybody can change any bill. You can change an and to a semicolon, and there is always a possibility to be changed. Whether or not the governor would support that, and I want to be mindful, she and her staff spent hundreds of hours working on this initiative and really answered all of the fiscal questions we had regarding diversion, regarding contingency, regarding bonding. They reduced the amount of the bond. And this, by passing this at the end of session, this would have allowed the administration to go forward, get the investment grade study. In many ways, it was enabling legislation.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Senate President Teresa Paiva-Weed.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.